You won.
You mean the term tranny?
The trannies fight back.
Yep. Yes.
Well, I've just been educated. I won't use that term. I mean, honestly, I had no idea that you're not supposed to use that term. So now we'll find another term to use. But, yeah, I didn't know that it was offensive to them, and I'm not interested. I'm not interested in offending people. So, obviously, I'll just change the term. There's no argument there.
Jerry.
Oh my goodness. You know, I have to tell you. I mean, you know, you hear Jerry Springer. I had no idea that term was offensive. No.
And he doesn't want to offend anyone.
What are you, living in a fucking box?
Bullshit.
I mean, this guy has been doing these shows for 30 years. I mean, it's like, to turn around and say you don't get it now... I'm sorry, but I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. I think what it is, and I think this kind of connects up to another story we're going to cover tonight. I think Jerry Springer was just perfectly content to use that word until he started getting called down on it. And then all of a sudden, all right. But, you know, I mean, what he cares about is viewers. Kind of like a certain drag queen that we could name, couldn't we? Yes. And getting to that particular topic, I got to tell you, okay, this whole RuPaul thing. Now, of course, for those of you who don't know, let me recap what went on here to get this all started, because this has been the story of the week for the transgender community. And basically what happened here was, of course, as you may know, RuPaul hosts a show on the Logo Network called Drag Race. And he has been using words like tranny, like shemale, very offensive words to trans women, particularly trans women, okay? And I'm not excluding trans guys here, but let's be honest. These words are generally directed towards trans women particularly. And he's been using them for years. I mean, I wrote an article for the Huffington Post 2 years ago about this. Okay, which if you want to go to the Huffington Post, you just go look up my name, do a search for me. You'll find it. It's called "You Don't Get to Tell Us When to Be Offended, RuPaul." Okay, that was published in, I think it was 2012. And, you know, so this is not a new issue for RuPaul, or for our community. What is new is that people are getting pissed off. I'd say thank you, Laverne Cox. Thank you, Janet Mock. Thank you, Carmen Carrera, for getting people riled up, for helping to set a line that says, you know what? We're not going to take this shit anymore. We're just not. And I'll tell you the truth. I have to tell you, okay, because as most of you know, if you follow the show, I am a GLAAD fan. In other words, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, although now they want to just call themselves by their acronym, which by itself means nothing. I mean, when it means the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, it kind of has a meaning there. It kind of gives you at least an idea of what their mission is about. But just calling them GLAAD, it's like, well, you know, they're not just like an office full of happy people. So, you know, kind of, I don't know if I agree with that particular move, but all right, that's not what we're here to talk about. The thing about GLAAD is I like GLAAD. I know many of the people there. I've met several of the people who work there. I know them. I like their mission. Their mission is along the lines of what I've been trying to do for the last 12 or 15 years. You know, trying to bring positive images of LGBT people into the media, calling it out when we don't get the kind of coverage we deserve. So, I am very, you know, I'm very predisposed to give GLAAD the benefit of the doubt, to support them in when I see them making an effort on things. And so I want people to understand. I mean, what I'm about to say is not intended to bash GLAAD. I don't want to bash GLAAD, okay? I think they're a good organization. I think they do good work. They have good people there. That's not what this is about. But just because you're a good organization and you have good people does not mean that you're right every single time. And I've got issues here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just do. I do not. I am not comfortable with the way GLAAD has been handling this whole RuPaul situation. Now, I should point out, before I go any further, I should point out, okay, but going back a few years, we had a situation over at the Bellerico Project. This was before I was writing for Huffington, where we had there was a guy. His name is Greg Grunberg. He's an actor. You may have seen him in various things. He was in the show Heroes. He was in something else too after that, but I don't remember because I don't like watch that much TV, and I don't really give a shit about Greg Grunberg. But he's a well-known actor. If you saw his picture, you'd know who he was. Okay. And he made these comments, these really, looking back, stupid comments about Chaz Bono and his weight and the fact that he was trans. And it was just, you know, what it seemed to me, and I'm saying this with several years of hindsight here, okay, he was trying to be funny, but he did so irresponsibly, and he didn't take the time to understand that, no, this isn't funny, because you're mocking a community that is harshly persecuted. And, you know, I honestly think, and I called him out for it on the Bellerico Project. And GLAAD participated in that effort. They were tweeting. They helped get the word out. They were amazing. Seriously, they were amazing. It was some of the most intense, well-organized, and speedy activism I have ever seen on any issue ever. Seriously, they impressed the hell out of me. And so that is why I have such an issue when I look at the way they are handling this RuPaul thing. Okay, this. Let's not forget, this happened almost 2 weeks ago. Okay, I, and for those of you who have not yet heard this, I want you to understand exactly what we're talking about here. Mr. Mike, can you run that clip, please?
Girl, you got she-mail. Hey, dream girls.
Hi.
Now that you've had your spring awakening, it's time to strap on your kinky boots and form a chorus line. Oh, scruff pit crew. For today's mini challenge, I show you an extreme close-up of a famous celebrity. You tell me if she's a biological woman or a psychological woman. It's time to play female
or she-male.
First up, Ben de la Creme. Let's go. Female or she-male?
Or ape. Let's go female.
That's female. Tan mom. She has a lot more to work on than her tan.
Is it a Sheila or a she-male?
She-male.
Female. That's wrestler China.
I'm still not sure whether I got it right or wrong.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, seriously. 2014, right? Not like, you know, 1964? I mean, seriously, how is it that a network like Logo can broadcast such blatantly transphobic bigotry and not say a word and act like it's okay? But you know what? That's Logo. And I would point out, Logo is CBS. So if you want to write letters, I suggest you contact CBS and give them a piece of your mind and what you think about them having this kind of content on their air. Okay? But that's not really what we're here to talk about tonight. What I'm talking about tonight is GLAAD. Okay? Now, again, I have seen with my own eyes what happens when these guys decide they're going to do something about an issue. These guys, I have never seen any organization move with such coordination, with such lightning speed. I mean, it was amazing to watch. And so, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, Glad, but the standard is high here. And it's high because you guys have set it high. Okay? We know what you can do when you put your minds to it. And so, when we turn around today and we see you guys waiting over a week and a half so far, almost 2 weeks, with this kind of hate language spewing out over the airwaves, with not a word from you guys, with just a single comment from Rich Ferraro, who I, by the way, is a great guy and has been a friend to this show and to me personally. And I want to get that out there. Okay? But you know what? I'm sorry, Rich. This was a dodge worthy of the White House here. I'm sorry. It just is. And frankly, I'm disappointed. I mean, you guys are better than this. That's the whole point. I'm not trying to bash you guys. You are better than this, and you have shown that you're better than this. And that's why I have to call you out on it. I mean, I want to read you this thing. I have to find it. Okay, let's see. I have to read you the statement that Rich Ferraro published, or issued, whatever. Let's see here. I have to find it. Oh, okay, wait a minute, I'm on the wrong page, that's why I can't find it, not a problem. Okay, let's see, am I spelling this correctly? I should have really set this up in advance, but I didn't know I was going to read the statement, but in any case, here, I know where I can find it, so let's see here. Let's see here. Okay. Now this is actually quoted from another article by Parker Marie Molloy, who writes for The Advocate, freelances for The Advocate, and apparently got in touch with Rich Ferraro, asked him for a comment, and here's what he said. I'm going to just read his quote. This is Rich. While some drag queens may use the term to refer to themselves, shemale is too often used by others as an offensive term to denigrate and hypersexualize transgender women. Unfortunately, most Americans are still unaware that there is a difference between gay men who perform in drag and transgender women. That's why GLAAD will continue to tell the stories of trans women like CeCe McDonald, Carmen Carrera, and CrossFit athlete Chloe Johnson. Okay, great. That's the quote. But what the fuck does that have to do with RuPaul? That's what you were being asked about, Rich. I mean, this is a classic dodge from an organization that clearly either does not want to or is not ready to speak on the issue at hand. And that's what we want. I should also point out that earlier today, Jenny Boylan, you know, Jennifer Finney Boylan, the well-known best-selling author, who is also one of the chairs at GLAAD, published something earlier. She published something yesterday. She published her own post this morning where she said basically that GLAAD was working on it and that, you know, these things have to be done quietly, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I respect the hell out of Jenny Boylan. I really do. I think what she has accomplished in her as a career and as a spokesperson for trans people, I think is something that myself and many others envy. The kind of reach that she has both as an author and as an activist. And I have great respect for her, whether she believes it or not. And I think the reason I say that is because I think some of the folks at GLAAD are a little upset with me because I keep pushing this and I keep wanting answers because that's what I do. You know, I mean, these are media people. They should know better. This is what I do. I will always come down on the side of transparency and telling the community the whole story up front. These is our lives that we're talking about. We deserve to know. We deserve to know what you're doing on our behalf, how you're doing it, And you know what? I'm sorry. But throwing around names like CeCe McDonald, Carmen Carrera, and Chloe Johnson does not exempt you from addressing the issue at hand. The issue at hand is RuPaul, a gay male celebrity, spewing hateful bigotry on a gay channel on your watch. That's what the issue is. It has nothing to do with CeCe McDonald. It has nothing to do with Carmen Carrera. It has nothing to do with anybody. It has to do with this well-known, famous, gay male actor who is spewing hate on the airwaves, and you are not doing something. Let's put it this way. Okay, it's not fair to say that they're not doing anything. It's not. Because, you know what? I'm quite sure there are heated conversations and passionate conversations going on behind closed doors. And all that's fine. But the key word there is closed doors. You know what? If you had to have closed doors conversations, go ahead. They should have happened the day after. They shouldn't still be going on a week and a half later. You owe the community answers. We have a right to know how you are advocating on our behalf. We demand transparency, and we demand it now. Enough game playing, enough with the political doublespeak, enough with the avoiding the topic, enough with trying to spin it away and direct people away to another topic. That's what you used to do when Neil Giuliano, that Republican Arizona idiot, was in charge. That's what you used to do when that Massachusetts liberal elitist Jared Barrios, who I don't think would know a transgender person if she hit him over the head with her handbag, would. I mean, God, I saw that guy. They interviewed him. He was like so clueless. I'm like, this is a guy in charge of a major national organization? Are you shitting me? I mean, he seemed like he was like just completely detached from anything that didn't involve a deck party and you know, hunky gay men. I mean, that seems to be all he ever talked about. I ever heard about him publicly. I mean, he just didn't seem to be very credible. Okay, now you've got somebody who's a real media person instead of a politician in there. I think that's a great thing. It's a woman. I think that's a great thing. You've put trans people on your board. I think that's a great thing. Okay, I'm not here to bash you guys. I don't want to bash you guys, but God damn it, you have to talk to us. When I send you guys emails and say, please come on the show, talk to the community, and you don't even give me the courtesy of a reply, well, you know what? I'm sorry, but that tells me something. It tells me that you're not interested in talking to this community, that you want to do what you do and make it easy on RuPaul. Well, you know what? I have no interest in making it easy on RuPaul. I have no interest in soothing the egos of CBS executives. I have no interest in making sure that your donations are maximized at your galas. I have an interest in protecting transgender people from discrimination and bigotry, especially when it's on television. And I thought that was your mission too. You can't represent unless you come to us and are open and honest with what's going on. I mean, I don't know. I've always had a good relationship with Glad. As I've said, Rich Ferraro, I've always considered him a friend of the show. He's helped me out getting guests for this show. It's been very appreciated. I've welcomed and appreciated his assistance and that of his fellow folks at GLAAD. But you know what? As much as I appreciate all that help, and as much as I appreciate all the good things about GLAAD and about Rich and about Jenny Boylan and about Lana Moore and about all these folks who are working hard and working for us, and I want to make it clear that, again, that I am not bashing these guys, their mission, but I am questioning the way they are handling this particular situation. I think it is wrong. I think that it is time to pull the curtain back, to involve the community, to come out behind the closed doors and the whispers and start interacting with the community that is being victimized by this celebrity bigot. Now, today. Not next week, not in a month, not when your board decides they might be comfortable. Now, let's see you work with the kind of speed and the kind of commitment and the kind of advocacy that we have seen from you in the past. The fact that RuPaul is a gay man should not matter. We're talking about people's lives here. We're talking about people who are beaten in the street while hearing these words hurled at them. I have no humor about this. I have no patience about this. And neither should you. I'm sorry, Glad. But you know what? Your window of those of us who are willing to wait and see what happened, that window has closed. That window has closed. We are going on 2 weeks with not a word from you guys. It is time for you to speak up. And if you're unwilling to go up against RuPaul, then what the fuck good are you guys? If you're going to cave because this is one of your rich gay male gala friends who you hand out awards to, oh yeah, you want us to hear something? I was doing a little research tonight. I went back, and you know what I did? It's very interesting. Went back, and here's what I put in. I put in RuPaul. I'm going to do it right now because I want to tell you. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. RuPaul, I put in the search terms, RuPaul and Glad into Google. Actually into Bing, but into Google. And I'm going to tell you what came up after we go to our very first break. We are saluting Jessica Garabedian of Temptress. Ooh, we love those guys. Oh, she passed away. Oh, my goodness. So sorry to hear that. I did not know that. And we are saluting her. And hire or fire, this is good stuff. Miss you. See you in 5 minutes.
Yeah. $2 a quarter. Operator, can you reconnect me?
Time for the boys to spring. I bring you some little goodies from the forest.
You won.
Spring is here, a suffering is here. Life is Skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do, don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me and makes every Sunday a treat for me.
Well, it is spring. Congratulations, we've made it this far.
Indeed, yes. Although you can't tell by the weather.
I know, oh, it's goodness. Insane. It's, well, it has been nice here in Arizona, though.
Yeah, oh, well, good for you. It still feels like winter here,
honestly. Going to plant tomatoes over the weekend.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about here. Before we left, I told you that what I did was I put the terms RuPaul and GLAAD into Bing and just went to see what was going to turn up as a result. And we got some rather curious stuff. Here's one. YouTube clip. RuPaul accepts an award for RuPaul's Drag Race. Guess who the publisher of that YouTube video was? GLAAD accepts the award. RuPaul accepts the award for Outstanding Reality Program for RuPaul's Drag Race. Yeah. That was 2010. Let's see. Here, let's take another look. Let's see. Okay, another one. Let's see. That was 2010. And RuPaul apparently got very huffy. Let's see, what is this here? From the Advocate. The omission of RuPaul. Now, this is a. Oh, God. Oh, my God! I don't believe this.
What?
They're forced.
She's so exciting. We're so excited. Oh, we goodness. Can't hear her. What's going on there? I can't even hear you now.
You know, the Advocate website is. Yes. They force you a video ad.
Yes.
I refuse. As of now, I refuse to repeat any Advocate content. If you are going to push ads, video ads to me, without my permission, I will never use your content on the air again. This is a promise. What kind of crap is this? How dare you? Putting videos that I don't want to see and forcing me to watch them before I access your content? Are you shitting me?
A pre-roll.
Shame. I absolutely refuse to utilize the content of any website who does that to me. I think that is a gross violation. A gross intrusion. Into the privacy of your users.
And just for your information, while that was playing in your ears, we couldn't hear you. It was confusing your Skype for some reason.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I will say, I just got rid of the article, unfortunately, but let me go back. Unfortunately, yeah, it was this video that just basically blasted into my ears all of a sudden. And my God, I'm sorry. I will not use content from any site that does that to me. I'm sorry. I just that is unacceptable. It is rude, and I refuse. I will not use content from any site that force feeds me a commercial on video. You want to put ads on the page? I can live with that. Do not force me to watch video content against my will. I will turn your site off.
And period. Don't get me started on those hideous MSNBC ads on the Rachel Maddow podcast. Those are unbelievably loud. I mean, they are so loud, I am going deaf listening to those between segments of Rachel's show. It's driving me crazy. Yeah. And that's all I had to say about that.
Yeah. Oh, and now look at this. Now, okay, here's another one where apparently ads for RuPaul's Drag Race were nominated for a GLAAD Award. So what it appears is, and I could go on because there's other examples here, okay? But what it appears is that GLAAD has been showering RuPaul with awards for years now, okay? And apparently, when he was overlooked in 2011, he got all snotty about it because, you know, I mean, somebody else might have had to win one year. Aww, is your little celebrity heart or your little celebrity ego all battered now? Aww, why don't you go back and roll around in your money and comfort yourself? I mean, really? I mean, have you ever heard of anybody so fucking arrogant in your life? And this is who they're showering with awards over at GLAAD. So there's clearly a bias here. I'm not talking about on the part of Jenny Boylan or Rich Ferraro or Lana Moore, but clearly whoever's handed out those awards seems to be giving a lot of them to RuPaul. Yeah, he's so wonderful. You know, and I think, like I said at the top, I think this is another example where they were perfectly happy with RuPaul using tranny, using shemale, using all that stuff. And now, all of a sudden, that the community has said, no, now we have a problem with it. You're going to stop or we're going to call you out on it. Now that Janet Mock has put her foot down, now that Laverne Cox has put her foot down, now that Carmen Carrera has put her foot down, now that trans women all over this country are putting their foot down and saying, no, we will not be mistreated, we will not be misgendered, we will not be abused, we will not be called slurs, and we will not stand for this quietly. Where the fuck are you guys? I'm sorry, but 2 weeks is not acceptable. Not acceptable. All right. Let me calm down here a minute as Mr. Mike tells me I'm getting a little distorted. So, I'm sorry, but this is just not acceptable behavior on the part of GLAAD. Okay? Yes, I realize that sometimes things have to be done quietly. This is not one of those times. RuPaul certainly didn't spew his bigotry quietly. Lots of people making lots of money on that, aren't they? Yeah, CBS just rolling in the dough. Yeah, RuPaul's getting a nice fat paycheck. Everybody's making money. So who cares if a few trans women get beaten? Who cares if we're denigrated? Who cares if people use words like tranny and shemale when we go to apply for jobs? That's not your problem, is it? Too many people are making too much money. And after all, we don't want to piss off Logo, do we? I think that's what's going on here. Is GLAAD? I mean, I can't come to any other kind of conclusion. Because, I mean, if they were doing the kind of advocacy that we're used to seeing from this organization, the kind of advocacy I have seen them do with my own eyes, this would not have taken going on 2 weeks without a word. And the only difference here, the only difference between somebody like Greg Grunberg and somebody like RuPaul is that RuPaul is a famous gay celebrity. Greg Grunberg is a straight guy. There's your difference right there. RuPaul is this actor that they've showered with awards and called the outstanding reality show. Outstanding? Outstanding in what way? Outrageous, maybe, but outstanding? I mean, you were perfectly happy, Glad, to shower this bigot with awards, even when people like me were calling him out 2 years ago. You were perfectly happy to shower this bigot with awards. Now it's time for you to pay the price. Now it's time for you to decide whether you're activists or supplicants. Whether you're on the side of the community or on the side of wealthy media executives and actors. Whether you care about the people who are fighting for jobs, the people who are facing hunger and homelessness, or whether you care about the people you meet at your $500,000 a plate galas. That's what this is about. I'm sorry, Rich. I'm sorry, Jenny, but that's what this is about. This is about whether your organization is going to stand up and speak out and live its mission, or if you're going to take the coward's way out and protect your rich, wealthy, gay male actor and media executive friends. That's the choice you have. You can side with the community, or you can side with the one percenters. Your choice. But you know what? All I can say is we invited you. We opened the door. We asked you to come on the show tonight and talk about this. And you guys continue to remain silent. Well, I'm sorry, but that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And frankly, it's unworthy of you. It really is. And it disappoints me to have to say that. I don't like having to say that. Again, I will say this one more time. I don't like having to bash GLAAD. I don't want to bash GLAAD. I really don't. But God damn it. You people owe us some... You owe us. I mean, what are we supposed to make of this? I mean, come on. You people are media people too. If you were us, if you were one of my listeners listening to this tonight, right now, if you read what we've seen on the internet this week, what would you think? I can tell you. I'm not going to, but you know what? They read Facebook. Okay? I would challenge them. You know what? Read some of the comments on Jenny Boylan's post this morning. I strongly recommend you do. People are fed up. This is not acceptable anymore. You can't sweep it under the rug. You can't handle it quietly behind closed doors. This is a community issue, and the community has the right to know what you are doing when you advocate on our behalf. We have the right to know. And if you are not going to be open and honest with us, don't think that this conversation will end. It will continue. It just will continue without your voice being a part of it. And that's disappointing to me. But I can do what I'm doing with a full heart and with comfort because I opened the door. I made it available. I said, come on the show. Let's get into it. You guys chose not to respond. Again, doesn't mean that the conversation ends. It just means it continues without you, which is a pity. You know, I mean, you guys have a history, just like the human rights campaign. Most of us still remember it wasn't that long ago. You know, I'm sorry. Do you guys have a history of favoring rich, white, gay, male celebrities and basically ignoring everyone else, pretty much like the human rights campaign? Okay, now, you guys have been making major and noticeable and worthy efforts to change that. You've put trans people on the board. You have made efforts to, you know, go out of your way to focus on trans issues. And I think that's great. And I and those of you who listen to this show regularly know that I have lauded GLAAD for doing that in the past. And I will continue to, because I think it's a great thing. And I think that when they do that, they are doing the right thing. But in this case, I'm sorry, you don't get a pass. Just because you do great on all these other things does not mean you get a pass on this. Okay? The community has a right to know how you are advocating for us in our name. We have that right. And we have the right to demand transparency and honesty and answers to the questions we have about how you are advocating on our behalf. And if you're not going to answer those questions, people like me are going to call you out for it. I'm sorry. It is not personal. But I will tell you, when push comes to shove, I will side with the rank and file, the working class of our community, over a big, wealthy organization every single time, because that's who I represent. I don't represent GLAAD. I don't work for GLAAD. I work for the people who are being impacted by the bigotry of RuPaul. Those are the people I work for. And I will continue to call you guys out on this until you do the right thing and come to the community and interact with us and tell us what you are doing, how this is going. And you know what? If you could drag his lame ass out there, let's get into it with RuPaul. Put him on the show. Oh, I'll take his ass on any day of the week. Bring him on. Of course, he's probably too fucking arrogant to be bothered because, you know, there's no cash in it for him. No, I mean, seriously, okay? I once wrote an article about him a couple of years ago. I was mentioning this earlier, okay? And when I dug up, I wanted to dig up a quote from RuPaul to, you know, for some kind of a gauge of how he perceives his own identity, you know, in terms of being a drag queen or a transgender person. And you know what he said? It was amazing. Basically said, he said, I do it, and I hope I'm quoting this exact. I'm doing it from memory, but I hope I'm quoting this exactly. I do it once in a while for fun, but really I only do it when I'm getting paid. Cha-ching. No, seriously, that's what he actually said. Okay? So anybody who considers this guy part of a trans person or part of the trans community, that's like calling Captain Kirk, that's like calling William Shatner an astronaut. I mean, seriously, it's ridiculous. What this guy is a very wealthy gay male actor who thinks he knows better than everyone else and doesn't hesitate to spew whatever hatred happens to come to his mind because he thinks he's better than everyone else because he has lots of money and because he has a TV show. Well, you know what? We can fight back. We did it. I said this last week. I think RuPaul should get the Piers Morgan treatment. I think that since GLAAD seems to be wringing their hands and doing nothing, I think maybe it's time to start initiating. How about we start boycotting? I mean, forget about Firefox. We'll get to that. By the way, there's a boycott of Firefox going on right now. We're going to get to that in a little while. Let's see. How much time do we have here?
Want to take a break, Steve?
We got plenty of time. All right. So we got plenty of time for that. But maybe it's time to start a boycott of RuPaul's Drag Race. Or, hey, how about we just start a boycott of Logo? Or maybe even CBS. After all, they're the ones who are ultimately responsible. Maybe we should start that. Let's see how you like that, GLAAD. You know, since you won't lead on this, maybe it'll be up to others. And maybe we won't choose the same kind of very quiet, hand-wringing backdoor methods you will. We'll get loud. We'll get nasty. Yeah, remember 2007? Yeah, all those people, they're still around. Yeah, they are. And you know what? They don't like this any better than I do. Trust me on that. Okay? So maybe that's what it's time for. Maybe it's time to show up at CBS's studios out there on West 57th Street between 11th and 12th Avenue in Manhattan. Yes, I used to work across the street. That's where I know where it is. Very easy to find. Has a big awning that says CBS on it. Very easy. Even though you could even, there's plenty of space. It's a nice big building with big awning. Keep you out of the rain. You know, maybe it's time to start doing that. Maybe it's time to start showing up when RuPaul makes personal appearances. You know, like we did for HRC when they hold one of their galas. Yeah, hey. And when RuPaul gets another award at another GLAAD gala, maybe we should show up for that too. You know, seriously, I mean, I don't know what else to do. I mean, I have to admit, I'm really taken for a loss here because I've over the last couple of years, I developed a trust for GLAAD that you could count on them to stand up when the time was right, that when you needed them, they were there. And then this, I mean, don't you guys see how this is hurting your reputation? I mean, seriously, are you guys, I honestly don't believe that you guys are that detached from reality, that you don't read Facebook, that you don't see what people are saying about your organization online right now, today. I mean, why aren't you guys speaking out for damage control, if nothing else? I mean, it may, you know, every time something like this happens, it's like somebody is raising a red flag over at GLAAD that says, no, we really don't get it. I mean, and you know what, again, I have trouble believing that because there are too many good people who are working there for me to believe that. But that's what you're telling everybody every day that this goes on. Every next day of silence and please wait and we're going to do this quietly. And, you know, I'm sorry. But you know what? I'm sorry. That was fine for the first week. We're now into the second. No longer. Your window has closed. I'm sorry. This is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. And I am going to keep calling you out on it until you do the right thing, until you honor your mission, until you call out RuPaul the same way you'd call out a Greg Grunberg or anyone else. I'm sorry, this is unacceptable behavior, GLAAD. And as much as I like you guys, I'm not going to hesitate to call you out on it. Because what you're doing is harmful to the community. It's disparaging to the community. And I don't think that any of us should stand for it. You're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And right now, GLAAD, you're part of the problem. You are a roadblock. And you know what? When you encounter a roadblock, you do one of two things. You either stop moving forward or you go around it. Well, GLAAD, I hate to sound like I'm issuing a challenge here, but I guess I am. Either remove the roadblock or we're going to go around it. And I don't think you're going to like the way that that resolves itself. Because when people are pissed, like we are now, and we feel like we're getting no help from those who have taken on the mission to lead this, well, then you know what? People are led by anger. And we all know what happens when angry people get together and start doing protests. Yes, we do, don't we? It doesn't end well for the people being protested, that is. HRC wasn't too happy when politicians started suddenly finding other things to do on the nights that their galas were on. Bet that cost them a shitload. Yeah. But you know what? It was also the same year that a non-inclusive ENDA vanished from the Democratic Party agenda. Bet the Democrats and other political leaders who are entrenched and comfortable with the status quo didn't like it very much when people started chaining themselves to the White House fence. But it got the ball rolling on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, didn't it? So you want us to feel motivated to get the ball rolling around you guys by doing something like that? Well, then keep doing what you're doing. Because that's what will be the result. Is sooner or later, somebody's going to get angry enough and say, you know what, let's get out in the street and do something about it. And once that happens, well, that's a tap that's really hard to turn off once it gets going. All right, it is time for our next break. We have got, what have we got? Let's see, Mr. Mike just posted something that made the thing scroll up. Ah, here we go. Man in the Moon from Coyote Grace, and we will be back with what's been running through my head since Fred Phelps died. And we'll see you in five, gang.
Girl, won't you come and see? I'm throwing rocks at your window. Won't you come and take a look at me? I'm the man in the moon.
We're talking about some real sick stuff here. Man on man, hairy baby, BDSM, bottoms acting like tops, tops acting like bottoms. It's just the whole world gone topsy-turvy.
You won.
Let the joyous news be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
Party! Time for a celebration.
Indeed, yeah. I like I said before we went to break, I that song has been running through my head since Fred Phelps died.
It's a wonderful song.
I don't know why. I mean, it wasn't just, you know.
It's just such a great movie. I really, you know, I watch that thing about once a year. It's getting to be about that time.
Yeah, oh, it was. It was a classic movie. And it just, I can't help it, you know. But anyway, all right. Well, thanks for sticking around. It is the Rebecca Giro Show going into our second hour here. And believe it or not, we do have other things other than that silly RuPaul, the bigoted RuPaul, to talk about. One thing you might know if you were paying attention to the news today, Maryland, baby. Yeah. Okay, the Maryland House of Delegates, which is kind of the assembly over there, that's equivalent to the assembly in most states, voted today to prohibit discrimination against transgender people in employment, housing, credit, and public accommodations by a vote of 82-57, which means that it is now on its way to the governor's desk, and he has said he will sign it. Only took him, what, 13 years? 8 years? I'm not sure. I've seen different things. Apparently, there. I don't know. But this particular bill, 8 years. 8 fucking years. Okay, I mean, it's really interesting. John Riley of Metro Weekly actually published a great article on this. I encourage you to read it if you get a chance over at metroweekly.com. And some of the stuff that he talks about in here, he talks a little bit about the history of this bill. It's unbelievable. Okay. In order to get past this particular time, it had to pass the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, which had previously rejected the bill every year except for 2011. Okay, the 2011 bill was passed without protections in public accommodations. In other words, bathrooms, hotels, restaurants, pretty much any part of life that does not involve your job. So in other words, a bill with no teeth, basically, because enough holes to drive a fleet of trucks through like they have in Massachusetts currently. It made it to the Senate floor, only to be voted back into committee. After 8 years of lobbying, Democrats on the committee eventually voted 8-3 to move the bill to the floor. Then it encountered a second obstacle when it landed in the House Health and Government Operations Committee. It was assigned to the Government Operations Subcommittee, which was considered much more hostile to transgender rights than two other subcommittees, the Minority Health Disparities or Public Health and Long-Term Care, where it could have landed. After wrangling behind the scenes to lobby two Democrats with spotty LGBT records, the subcommittee eventually voted 5-2 to bring the measure before the full committee, and then they approved the full measure 13-9. The full committee approved the measure 13-9, which moved it to the full House floor for debate by the lower chamber. Now, I mean, this is unbelievable. During debate on the bill's third and final reading, House Republicans, doing what Republicans do, attempted to gut the bill and impede its progress by offering 8 different amendments, mostly aimed at, gee, what a shocker, stripping public accommodations, changing the name of the bill, although I don't know why that is, or changing the definitions of various terms within the bill under the guise of, wait for it, protecting people from would-be assailants in public restrooms, because we all know that there's tons and tons of that. They're all hanging out with, you know, all those public restroom assailants. You know where they are? I know where they are. They're hanging out with all the people who are committing voter fraud. They all hang out together in that little, non-existent little place where they... Where Republican fantasies live, but in any case, it's roughly around the same area as Obama's Kenya birthplace, you know. So you can look for it over there. But in any case, getting back to what we're doing now, of course, if any of these silly amendments had been adopted, the bill would have had to go back to the Senate. During the debate, House Republicans, now this goes into a whole bunch of stuff that you know, basically, you know, the usual crap with, throwing the Bible around and throwing, evil transgender people who are going to all invade women's spaces, blah, 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 you know. But suffice it to say that the thing finally passed. It's going to the governor. The governor has said he's going to sign it. So this is kind of a done deal. Okay. Now, I want to point out before we move on, though, just, not that it really matters in any political or whatever way, but there was all, remember when we had all that attention, gay marriage is now equal to the number of places that protect, trans rights. Well, not anymore. We're up to 18. You guys are back to 17. So you guys are once again trailing behind. But yeah, keep trying to sell us that gay marriage is the issue that people care about. You know, keep trying to sell people that shit, you know, because, you know, maybe eventually somebody will believe it. Not anybody who lives in the real world outside the Beltway, mind you, but maybe somebody. In any case, suffice it to say, lots of people making very positive statements. This is wonderful. This is great. This is wonderful. And it is. And kudos to the Maryland State Legislature for, you know, finally bringing yourselves into the 21st century. And, it only took you 8 years to do it. But, you know, at least welcome to the 21st century. Of course, it would be nice to see New York join the 21st century and Massachusetts, too. But, well, you know, I mean, really, I mean, should it really take this long? Because don't forget, Why did this bill fail last year? Well, because the governor had a pet project. He had his windmills that he wanted. So they basically took the bill, which was about to pass, and switched out legislators in order to enable the governor's bill to pass at the expense of the trans rights bill. And they knew what they were doing when they did it. Okay? So, yes, celebrate. But don't forget that when push comes to shove, Democrats are still willing to fuck you over. Okay? I mean, don't forget, we've now been waiting almost 40 years. In fact, I think it's been over 40 years. What am I saying? Over 40 years for ENDA. We had a 17-year gap between votes on ENDA in the Senate. 17 years. And now, after that, it was such an effort. Have you heard a single Democrat in the House come out and say they were going to do anything? Have you heard a single Democrat in the House mention it? No, I haven't. You know what I hear? All I hear is immigration. They've completely forgotten about us. Again, as usual. You know, because, well, why should they? After all, they don't figure they have to work for our money or our votes. They don't feel that they have to answer to us because, you know, we don't represent enough votes or enough money. So why should they, right? It's not like anybody's going to care. It's not like their donations will go down from organizations like the Human Rights Campaign if they don't vote on these things. So why should they care? They're going to get the same money. They're going to get the same nice, fat, mega donor checks that they get every time around. So why should they stand up for the little guy? Little guy's not paying the bills, right? The little guy's not making it more convenient for Democrats to go for, to avoid putting, doing anything controversial or anything that even smells like it might be leadership or progress. So why should they, right? And I think that's exactly what you're seeing. Not a single Democrat in the House, not one, suggesting anything. But boy, now all of a sudden, they pulled out the old discharge petition on immigration, right? Well, you know, and I actually had somebody criticize me on this, said that they were at the same event I was, and they didn't perceive it this way, but I'm sorry, I don't agree. I was in the room at Netroots Nation last year when Nancy Pelosi was asked directly on stage if she thought that a discharge petition on ENDA was a good idea. And she poo-pooed the idea. Oh, it'll never pass. We don't have the votes. But in the meantime, she just, you know, because the woman, I mean, she's such a bullshit artist that it's unbelievable. Okay, so here we go. Okay, she now came out and said that the discharge petition on immigration will not pass because it doesn't have the votes. But 2 minutes ago or 2 days ago or whatever, they were saying, oh, well, it's such a terrible thing because, you know, John Boehner won't bring up ENDO because we have the votes to pass it. Well, really? But if you have the votes to pass ENDA in the House, how come you're not calling for a discharge petition on that? Well, of course, nobody's going to bother to ask her that question. And she wouldn't answer it even if it was asked. Because it strikes directly to the heart of the problem that every transgender person has with these people. The problem that every working class LGBT American family has with these people. Okay? Because the truth is that they don't really want to pass ENDA. They want you to vote on ENDA. They want you to donate on ENDA. They don't want to pass ENDA because once ENDA is law, then they can't try to squeeze your money and your vote from you based on promises that they're going to work on this bill. I mean, how many times do we have to be suckered by these people? before we say, no. First you act, then you come to us for money. Then you come to us and say, look at how great a job we are doing. When you absolutely ignore our civil rights, when you make no effort, you don't then get to come back to us and say, aren't we wonderful? Give us lots of cash. I'm sorry, you just don't. It wouldn't make sense. You know, I like to use this analogy because I think it's a good one. If you had an employee, if you're a boss and you have an employee and you go to that employee and you say, I need you to get a job done. And your employee says, absolutely, I'll get the job done. And you say, well, how long is it going to take you to get that job done? And they tell you. And then you come back and the job's not done. You go to that employee and you say, hey, how come the job's not done? And they give you an excuse. You say, all right, well, you're not happy, but you accept the excuse and you go away. And you come back a while later, you go back to that same employee and you say, hey, is the job done now? And you say, no, I didn't get it done. Well, why not? Well, blah, 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 blah. There was 400 other things I had to do. And then you go away again and you come back again. You say, hey, did you get that job done? And then your employee offers you yet another excuse as for why the job is done. Or they come to you, or let's even use the modern version. As you get there, and the employee has the job half done and said, well, isn't that enough? No, I asked you to get the job done. This isn't the job. This is half the job. How does this help me? Now, how many of you, as the boss, are now not going to be at the point where you say, you know what, it's time to fire that employee and get somebody who's going to finish the job? I think that's the point we're at now. I think it is time to start lopping heads. I think it is time for the progressives, the real progressives, not these fakos that we have in Congress, but the real progressives have to get together and start doing what the Tea Party does. We have to start going after these corporate moderates like Nancy Pelosi and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, get rid of those people and replace them with real leaders. That's what we need to do. We need to dump Wasserman Schultz. We need to dump Pelosi. And we need to dump every other Democratic moderate who isn't willing to stand up for justice. I think that's what we have to do. I don't see any other options at this point, because polite begging certainly doesn't help. Oh, we should go lobby. If we present our voices, we will be heard and they will. No, but they're not. They don't care. You know, I mean, we've heard this nonsense for years and years. Oh, we have to bring trans voices into the conversation. We have to present trans people to these people so they can be educated. Well, you know what? It was all bullshit. And now we know it was all bullshit because we did all that. We did that education. People know what a trans person is. There's no more excuses. We say, oh, nobody understands. Everybody knows what a trans person is. We're on television. Okay? But nothing changed. So the whole education incrementalism argument was bullshit from day one. And everyone knows it. And they're still trying to sell this nonsense today. Seriously. Seriously. Why on earth should we stand for it? You want to go live in the 1990s? Go ahead. But don't expect us to follow you there. We're going forward. And if you, Nancy Pelosi, and you, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, can't get with the program, if you can't represent, then get the fuck out and make way for people who will. It's really that simple. Okay? Now, I'm no great fan of Harry Reid. I think 17 years for a vote on ENDA is an absolute disgrace. Disgrace. But at least he made an effort. At least he showed that it could be done. At least he acted like a leader. Where are you, Nancy Pelosi? Where are you, Debbie Wasserman Schultz? Oh, we know where you are. Yeah, because we've read the same reports everyone has. The ones that say that you are lobbying against taking up ENDA. Yeah, we know all about you, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and your agenda of betrayal. We know all about you and politicians like you. And you are exactly who needs to be replaced. Seriously. I mean, honestly, I couldn't care less if she's replaced by a Republican. I'd be fine with that. Just get her out. Get her out. She has no right to represent. She doesn't. She should not be in the leadership. Neither should Pelosi, really. But she's going to be much tougher. The reason Nancy Pelosi is in there, because everyone loves her. Sure, she takes care. Her constituents are all taken care of. They've got great benefits. They're all fully protected. So she doesn't give a shit. She'll happily trade the civil rights of the rest of the LGBT community away for a handful of magic hate crime beans. You know, I mean, because it's not like she actually gives a shit. Okay? I mean, anybody who watched the DNCC in 2012 knows what they're about. It was all marriage, marriage, marriage. Not a single one of them even bothered to mention our jobs. Nobody noticed. Nobody cared. Except for John Perez, Speaker of the state of California, who did a speech, covered our jobs. Problem was, of course, Speaker Perez got a short little speech at an off-hour time in the middle of the day when nobody was paying attention. But everybody who spoke during prime time was all marriage, 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 marriage. And, you know, I'll tell you something. When I was in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago for the convening, I got to meet Speaker Perez. Good guy. Nice guy. Liked him a lot. He was a good man. We got to talk to him for a little while. Good guy. Just wish we had more like him at the federal level. He's the guy I'd love to see run for the House or the Senate. Replace some of these I don't even know what to call them anymore. Cowards. But, you know, I tell you. I don't know what to make of it anymore. I mean, you know, it's like people keep saying, I keep hearing from people, oh, I'm so excited Nancy Pelosi didn't close the door on a discharge petition on ENDA. Well, yeah, she didn't close the door on a nuclear explosion in New York City, but we don't expect that to happen either. You know, I mean, you know, it's like, do you people pay attention? I mean, why are you judging on an offhanded reading, a bizarre reading between the lines of a comment that for all intents and purposes sounded entirely negative to me, when you've got an entire history of behavior, of actions to go by? I mean, when are you people going to learn that going by what a politician says is for fools and suckers? Didn't we learn that lesson with Obama and Bill Clinton? Didn't we learn that lesson that you cannot trust these people? And then, you know, that's the problem. The only time that we see progress is when we hold a gun to these people's heads and say, if you don't do it, we're going to show up at your events and cut into your fundraising. We're going to show up at those HRC events. We're going to chain ourselves to the White House fence. If you're looking to try and convince activists that the way to go is lobbying, then how come the only time you guys do anything is when we get out in the streets and scream at the top of our lungs and start costing you guys in bad press and campaign donation opportunities? Why do we have to hold a gun to your head every single time? You want us to believe that you can fight for us without that? Why don't you do something to show us? Why don't you make the slightest effort to prove that it's not necessary? But if you're not going to do that, then don't complain when people get fed up and start doing it. Because that's what happened. I will tell you this. I was there. Okay? That is what happened in 2007. People had just decided we have had enough. We knew who the villain was, and we went after that villain, and we hurt that villain. And we cost them reputation that they still have not recovered today. We know how to do damage. And we will do it if we have to. But I don't want to have to. I don't think that we should have to get into a fight. I don't think we should have to complain. I don't think we should have to spend 5 years trying to get our president to sign an executive order to protect LGBT workers, particularly not when he says he supports our rights, and particularly not when he has said that he's going to advance things with executive orders when Congress refuses to act. 5 years. And you expect us to believe you now? Why on earth should we? Okay. We are about to go to another, our final break. We are remembering Temptress's Jessica Garabedian. She passed last week. This is produced by our friend of the show. I met him a few years ago, great guy, Robert Urban. And it's called Queen for a Day in lingerie. And we will be back in about five. Catch you then.
Now check out this review.
the voice of spring. I bring you some little goodies from the forest.
You won.
We are back. It's the Rebecca Giroir Show. Thanks for sticking around. And I do want to update. I got to do a quick little update on our story about RuPaul. I did say on the air earlier that I had not yet heard back from Ferraro. I did just hear back from Rich Ferraro. He's actually, his email is dated 6:45, but I did not get it until just a few minutes ago. I don't know why. Thank you, Google Mail. but in any case, Rich says that he would come on the show to talk about this and all the other work we do on trans issues, which, of course, and as Rich well knows, I laud a lot of their work on trans issues because they do a lot of good stuff. They've been doing a lot of good stuff. And I do want to emphasize that. This is not an attack on GLAAD. I think GLAAD is a great organization. I think they could be greater. But that doesn't mean that I can't be, that just because I think they're a good organization, good organizations screw up occasionally too. And that's part of being a politically involved organization, is you're going to be called out for stuff like this. Rich says that he doesn't feel it's the right time. And I can understand that, you know, there's stuff going on in the background, and I get that. I'm not comfortable. You know, I am very scrupulous, or at least I try to be, very scrupulous about when folks tell me stuff in private, personally, and I want to repeat that on the air. I want to tell you something. If somebody tells me something, puts something in my ear, and I think it's important enough to share with you, but it was told to me privately, I'll get in touch with that person and say, hey, listen, I would like to cover this, and I would like to use what you said. Is that okay? I get a personal okay on things like that because I want them to trust me. I want people to trust me. I want people to be willing to tell me things so I can share them with you. And I want them to understand that I do not repeat private conversations on the air. Okay? Now, will I use those private conversations as impetus to look for public information to tell the same story in another way without using that person's particular information? Yes, I will. Because that's my job. My job is to get you that information. And if this information has been made public through other means, then yes, I will use that public information to tell the story. But I will never, ever use a private conversation to tell a story or reveal information that was clearly private. I just will not do that because I don't, first of all, I think it's bad form. And second of all, because it would harm my ability to do this job, to do this kind of work, to get you the information that you need and deserve to have. And again, I can appreciate that this is a sticky situation, but you know what? I'm having less appreciation for that all the time, because the longer this takes to resolve itself, the angrier the community gets. That's the problem. The more I start to see stuff popping up on Facebook, what's happening is somebody pointed this out earlier. I forget who it was, but somebody pointed this out, and they were right. As long as this goes on, as long as GLAAD remains silent on this RuPaul issue, what's happening is in the trans community, from the words and the thoughts that I've been seeing come out publicly, What's happening is that the people are angry about RuPaul, which gets them angry. But then the anger is now starting to turn towards GLAAD and say, hey, where are you guys? Why aren't you speaking out on this? Why is it taking you this long for something that most of us think should be a no-brainer for an organization like GLAAD? That's what is starting to happen, is more and more people are asking that question. And I think it is, how to put this, disappointing that you guys cannot be more forthcoming. And again, I understand the logic. I understand that certain things have to be discussed behind closed doors. I don't think it should take 2 weeks. I'm sorry, I just don't. Not for an organization that works as quickly as yours does, Rich. I have a big problem with this. I think you guys can do better. I think you guys should do better. I think we have the right to demand that you do better. I'm sorry, I just do. And as not a personal attack, I love you guys, but I think you're wrong on this. I think you're handling this in a way that is not only bad for the community, it is costing you guys credibility that you can ill afford to lose. And I don't want to see that. I know how much effort you guys have put into making yourselves more trans-inclusive and representative. And I see it. I appreciate it. I like it. I don't want to see that ruined by bad PR. I don't. I really don't. I want you guys to come out of this looking good. And right now, you're not. It's just getting worse. It's getting every day. I see more people asking that same question. Why haven't we heard from GLAAD? I keep seeing it. I keep hearing it over and over and over. And the problem is, it's a fair question. It's a fair question. We have the right to know. And as somebody who has been doing what I do for as long as I have been doing it, I will always come down on the side of full disclosure, on the side of transparency, on the side of being honest and being forthright and being transparent on what you are doing in the community's name. And that's what I do. And that's what I will continue to do. Because that's what I believe. I believe you can't have a community that works together, that unites together, that advocates together, unless we also talk together. And when certain elements in the community huddle off into their own little enclaves and say, well, we'll let you know when we're done, that doesn't help that process. It really doesn't. And I don't want to see GLAAD lose all that credibility that they have worked so hard to build up over something like this. I really don't. I really, really, really don't. And that's what I see happening. It concerns me. It bothers me. Because that's the direction I see this going. I see trans people getting angrier and angrier. And just, there's the one response that we've gotten from Rich Ferraro Again, I think he's a good guy. I like him. He communicated with me. I mean, granted, he's a busy guy. I don't at all give him a hard time for getting back to me late. I'm sure he was insanely busy. The guy is constantly on the move. He is, you know, he does so much for the community. I swear, Glad should issue this guy a cape, okay? But that, I can't let that prevent me from being honest and expressing my honest, heartfelt opinion that I think Glad is not doing the community a service here in the way they're handling this so far. Now, it may very well come out that tomorrow or next week or you know, whenever, all of a sudden, they announce something, and that'll be big. But you got to give us something. You can't just leave us hanging like this. And I, my concern is that what's going to happen is exactly what happened in 2007, is the community is going to wait and wait and wait, and finally they're going to say, fuck you, we're done waiting. And then you guys are going to hold a party or a gala or an event, and there's going to be a lot of angry progressives showing up at your front door that you do not want. And I do not want. I don't want that for you, Glad. I don't. But that's the direction I see this going. Because this is the way it was. This is the kind of behavior we were dealing with from the Human Rights Campaign when the protests of 2007 were initiated. For that matter, it's the kind of behavior that was initiated the protests of 2004 as well. Granted, it was a little different. It was more political at that point. Not that this wasn't, but I'm trying to take the long view on history here. Okay. If you're looking to gain the confidence and the trust of transgender people, you're not doing a very good job of it. You're really not. And that bothers me because I want you guys to succeed. I want you to be great at what you do. And it's extra frustrating for me because I know that you can be. I've seen it. I watched it. I was stunned. I have never seen an activist organization operate like such a well-oiled machine. When you guys snapped into action over that Greg Grunberg thing, I was so impressed. It's almost like, what happened? It's like two different organizations. And I have to ask. I have to ask the same question that every good journalist must ask in a situation like this. Why? Why? What is so important that you have to hide it from the community? Why do you have to do this behind closed doors instead of in full view of the community which you speak for? I mean, you guys are a media organization. You understand better than probably any other organization in this community how media makes a difference in people's lives. It's why you do what you do. It's why I do what I do. Our motivations are really not so different. We're both looking out and seeking to protect a community that desperately needs people to stand up and speak out on their behalf. And you've earned the respect of people like me, probably a lot of other folks out there. But you make it so hard. when you do something like this, because then people are going to say, and rightly so, they did so great here, and they did so great there, and they did so great over here. Why is it that they're doing so horribly here? I understand, again, I like Rich Ferraro. I trust Rich Ferraro. I have fully believe that if he feels it's not the right time for whatever reason, you know, I've held back stories myself, and this is not anything to do with GLAAD particularly, but in other situations, I have been told things, and specifically by people who I know and trust me. Say, listen, Becky, this is going to be happening, but do me a favor. I'd prefer you not talk about it on the air for a week or for 2 weeks, or don't cover it on next show, cover it on the show afterwards. I always respect those requests, always. And if there's some reason, I think it happened once, where I actually called somebody up and said, listen, I want to cover this on the show tonight, and I want your okay to use what you told me. I did do that once with somebody. But, you know, if that person had said no, I would have not done it. Because I believe trust is valuable. And I believe that when my reputation is on the line, I am going to protect that reputation. Because protecting that reputation protects my ability to tell you what you need to know. And that's really my ultimate goal here, is to get the information to you. And anything that helps me do that is something that I am going to go out of my way and do everything within my power to protect. Because that's what my goal is here. My goal is not to promote a politician. My goal is not to promote a political party. My goal is not to promote any particular organization or agenda other than full civil rights for all Americans. I mean, everybody pretty much knows that that's an agenda I have, but I'm not here to support any individual. I'm not here to support any particular political party, political ideology. I'm here to tell you what I think. I'm here to get you the information I think that you need to know to make intelligent choices and intelligent decisions as LGBT people, as trans people, as trans allies, as people who care about these issues, people who care about issues that impact all of us. And yeah, there are certain issues. Well, if you want blow-by-blow coverage of the marriage movement, you're going to have to look somewhere else for it, because you're not going to get that from me. I speak for the working class. That's what I am. I'm working class. I've punched the time card. I get paid by the hour. Well, not for doing this, but I you know, I'm a working class girl, and that's where I come from. You know, I don't go to I don't go to these galas, except once I went as press, but that's a different situation. That's not the same thing as being an invited guest. I'm fortunate in that I have been included and recognized in certain events and other things related to being an LGBT media person. And I love that I have been accepted into that community and that group. It was a lot of years before that happened. And I am both thrilled and honored that I have been accepted. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But it's something that's valuable to me personally, and it's valuable to me as somebody who does this work and has a mission. You know, nobody's paying me for this. I do it because it needs to be done, and because if I don't do it, who will? And because this is my passion. This is what I love. This is what I do. This is what I've dedicated my life to doing. Because that's what I am. That's what I do. I'm a big mouth tranny with a microphone. That's what I am. And I'm okay with that. You know, I've been an organizational leader. It didn't really suit me. It's not really the job for me. I am a loyal foot soldier. I am a commentator. I will tell you what I think. I will bring you the voices that I think you're going to care about, that you want to hear. But that's my niche. I leave the day-to-day fights, the politics, the political warfare. That's something best suited to those with the most skills in that area. And I don't pretend to have those skills. I would be a terrible legislator. Okay? You know, have you ever seen, those of you who watch Maddow, have you ever seen her when she addressed the fact when they were trying to claim, when Scott Brown was trying to claim that she was going to run for the Senate in Massachusetts? And she said something that I thought was great. And I would say the same thing about myself. She said, I could never be a good senator because I don't work well with others. And, you know, the truth is, a lot of people would argue the same thing about me. You know, I have a very clear vision of what I do here on this show, about what I want to write about the kind of work I want to do. I have a very clear vision. It's taken me years to develop of what I'm doing here. And I am not willing to compromise that vision. Not for anybody. Not for GLAAD. Not for the Human Rights Campaign. Not for anybody. Not even for organizations that I support and agree with in 99.999% of cases. You know, I can't do that. I have to say, this is what I believe. And I hope, because Jenny Boylan, I love, and I think is an awesome writer, and a great activist. I said this earlier. But she kind of made an allusion earlier, and I guess I could talk about this because it's public, it's Facebook. She basically made a comment that I didn't respect her work earlier today, which really bothered me, I have to tell you. Because the fact that I don't agree with her in this particular instance about this particular situation and the way this particular situation is being handled means that I don't respect her work? Come on, Jenny. You know better than that. You have to. And if you don't know better, Rich Ferraro certainly does. He's known me too long not to. You and I, well, we've only had one conversation on the air. We literally just met. You don't know me too well, but hopefully you know me by reputation. But you know what? If you know anything about me, Jenny, you know anything about my show, about my written work, you know that's not what I'm about. You know that's not what it's about. I will call out what I feel is worthy of being called out. And it doesn't matter whether there's a friend in charge or not. If you're doing wrong, if you're doing something that I believe harms the community or is doing a disservice to the community or isn't being honest with the community or is not doing what an organization with your mission should be doing, yeah, I'm going to call it out. And it's not personal, and it's not an attack, and it's not saying that I dislike the organization or I want to disparage the people that work there. It's not an attack. It's a challenge. A challenge to do better. A challenge to be more progressive and more transparent. All right. enough of this. I've taken up enough time with this topic. We do have one more topic, and Mr. Mike is, of course, reminding me that we have just 5 minutes left. So while we do have these 5 minutes, I wanted to throw this out there. This is interesting, and I wish I had more time, but, well, I blah, blah, blah too much about GLAAD, so it's my own fault. But this is interesting. Apparently, there's this group of LGBT developers, web developers, and they've just chosen that they're going to boycott Firefox. Firefox, of course, for those who don't know, is the second most popular browser in the world. It's made by a company called Mozilla. Now, Mozilla happens to also make a Thunderbird email client, and they make some other products. But their most well-known product is the Firefox browser. I love Firefox, okay? I've been using it for years. I am a big fan. In fact, if you go to my webpage, if you go to my Facebook page, and you look at some of the pictures that are there from like last year's convening, you'll see pictures of me in a Firefox t-shirt. No, I kid you not. Okay, I actually donated $20 to the company to get one of those t-shirts. Okay, because I'm such a big supporter. Okay, that's how much I support them and support their product. But here's the problem. It was announced on Monday that the company's co-founder, Brendan Eich, I guess, would take over as the new CEO. Now, I should make a point. This is also the guy who created JavaScript, which, as many people know, is a very well-known and well-used computer language for scripting, for doing things on web pages. He made a personal $1,000 donation to support Proposition 8, which was, of course, the ballot initiative to ban same-sex marriage statewide. A lot of Firefox users, particularly LGBT Firefox users, are not happy with this. And basically, we're seeing the same kind of reaction to this that we saw with Orson Scott Card and Ender's Game, where people are boycotted that movie. Because of his involvement, because they were not comfortable giving money and spending money on a movie that it was felt could enrich this anti-gay bigot. Well, the same kind of thing is happening here. People are boycotting Firefox because of this. I think that it's a mistake to boycott, but for them to have put somebody in there that is so woefully out of touch with where their own user base is, I think they should have known better. I mean, these are developers. These are folks, this is an open source browser. I mean, people contribute. There's a very strong developer community making all kinds of add-ons and extensions. And I mean, it bothers me because now I have to go use Google Chrome, which sucks. I hate Google Chrome. I wish I could like it, but it sucks. Every time I use this fucking browser, it's like, it takes so long. Every time it encounters a script or a video or anything that's like media, it just suddenly slows down to a crawl. And it's like, why is it doing this? It's so annoying. And it's like, it won't do anything until it like loads every single piece of frickin' advertising. You load AdBlock Plus, which is like an ad blocker, which I have works perfectly great on Firefox, works wonderfully on Firefox. You try to use it on Google Plus, it doesn't block 3/4 of the ads. I mean, you want to take part of the market share on Chrome? Stop sucking wind like this. I mean, the problem I have is that Firefox is just a better browser. And I don't want to have to give it up, although I already have. I've started using Chrome. I've not yet transferred my mail off of Thunderbird because I'm hoping they resolve this. I'm hoping something happens to make this boycott be called off, because transferring 5 years of email to another client will not be easy, and I don't want to deal with it. So I'm hoping against hope. I'm giving them an extra few days, hoping that they come to their senses. Please, please, please. please, Mozilla, understand this is not going to fly. It's going to hurt you. It is going to matter. We are this is no longer okay. You need to fix it. And the bullshit statements that you've put out so far are not helping. Please, we love your product. Don't make us stop using it, please. All right, we are out of time. I want to say thank you, as always, to Mr. Mike Scott. I will let you know, I am hoping that by next week, maybe we'll have somebody from GLAAD who can come on the show and talk to us and tell us what's going on. I really hope so. I really hope. 3 weeks, 2 weeks is bad enough. Three would not be good. And all right, we will be back next week. We will repeat in 3 minutes. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. We'll see you next week.